Ephesians chapter 4. How many of you like the heat? Anyone like the heat? I love the heat. My only complaint about San Diego is that it doesn't get hot enough. It used to be that it didn't get hot enough and that the prices were astronomical for houses. Well, that's about 50% less true than it used to be. But I like the heat. I've always lived right along the coast where it doesn't get that warm. But we're in a series in August entitled It's Getting Hot. And I think we'll conclude tonight our look at the subject of anger. And then next week we're going to look at the issue of it's getting hot relating to lust. And we're going to talk about, that's right. People are like, really? We're going to talk about that? We're going to talk about lust. Maybe what it is. Because I think some people don't really have a good conception of what lust is. You can lust more than for things sexually. You can lust for other things. We're going to look at what is lust, how to identify that, and probably even more importantly, after you identify it, how to watch out for it and avoid falling into its trap. And then finally, in August, we will look at the idea of it's getting hot. What happens when we just get overheated in life? Too many things going on. I mean, I had one of those days where it just... In fact, I remember, I didn't understand it as a kid. My mother would sometimes just suddenly, for no reason, in the kitchen making dinner, just put down the towel and just begin to cry. And we're like, you know how kids, when mom cries, you don't know what to do. And you're like, are we all right? She's like, yes. I just need to cry. And as I got a little older, I was like, Mom, why do you do that periodically? And she's like, you know what? Sometimes life just gets so stressful that it just helps to cry. And you know what? I hate to admit it because I know, you know, I'm supposed to be a man all the time. But there's been a couple days in life where I just had to, like, get by myself and just cry. Just be, not that I was sad. It's just too much stress. And I was like, this does kind of help. You know what I mean? Go watch a good A Walk to Remember or some sad movie and just, like, let it all out. But, we're going to look at that. But tonight we're going to finish the other emotion, which is anger. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look down at the end in just a moment. But I think most of us know what anger is. We can give it a working definition, but, you know, it's that visceral part of us. It's that emotional swell that suddenly happens in us. One person gave it this definition. I think it's on the board. It's a strong feeling of intense displeasure, hostility, indignation that results from a real or perhaps just an imagined threat, insult, frustration, injustice toward yourself or others that are important to you. We know what it is. That's a complicated definition, but you know when you're angry, don't you? I mean, I think there's some emotions. I don't know that we all know when we're beginning to verge on depression. I don't know that we all know when we're beginning to go into some of these. But most of us know the hallmark signs of anger. I was thinking this week in preparing for this. I lived in Northern California, and our church had a TV ministry. So we were on TV almost every night. Kind of prime time. So even though it was a UHF station, we were on cable. So in the Bay Area after so many years, we kind of were recognized, my wife at that time and I. So one day we were looking at some land, and we were way out in the country. I didn't think they even had TVs out there. It was so far out there. But, you know, my idea was, like, I want to get some land, you know. I don't know what I would have done with it if I would have got it, but I want some land. And so we were with some friends, and we turned down this gravel road because there was a sign. There was a property for sale. And so, I mean, there was like one little house here behind some cypress trees, and there was this long gravel road. So I just went peeling down this gravel road. Now, peeling, yeah, I was going a little fast, but I was in a van. I was not going to 85 miles an hour or anything. But I saw in my rearview mirrors, we're going down, and the dust is kind of rising up, that this person appeared out of the cypress trees, and they're like, waving me down. I could tell they were upset. So we go down, we look at the land, and when we're coming back, this person was standing out in the middle of the road. So I'm coming back down, and I can see this woman, and she starts saying, no. And she starts taking, like, something off the tree and, like, throwing him in my car. Oh, yeah. Indignation towards injustice. And I just got ticked all of a sudden. So I'm rolling my window down. And I already knew, and this may sound slip, but I already knew what I was going to do, because I'm not one to cuss, I'm not anything. I thought, I'm just going to go by her, and whatever she's saying, I'm just going to say it after her in a weird voice. So she's saying, slow down, I'm like, no, no, you know. I know that's really childish, but I was totally ready for it, you know. So we're going down, the window's down, I'm coming up, and I can hear her saying, slow down, I'm going back, no, no, and just as I'm starting to go, slow down, she goes, oh, you're that preacher from TV. I know. blessing again. So Austin had to change my attitude real quick. I'm like, I said, yeah, God bless you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You watch Christian television? I was like, Holy Ghost. My wife was like, She was doing that like, I said, God, just can't you just let me get away with it once? Just like kind of get it out. No. Because even if they don't know you, the fact is that anger is not a good thing if we sin. I say what? If we sin. Because the Bible says you can be angry as long as it doesn't lead to sin. And I know sin's kind of that word that a lot of us don't use anymore. But we know what the idea of sin is. It's doing the wrong thing. It's doing the foolish thing. Proverbs, I love the way Proverbs talks, because Proverbs doesn't always say sin, because that might remind you of your grandpa at his strict church. But Proverbs loves to talk about wisdom and foolishness. And the path of wisdom leads you to a good place in life. Foolish actions don't lead you to good places. And the Bible says you can be angry, but do not sin. So let's kind of put in a different working definition. Go ahead and be angry, but don't let it lead you to do stupid things. Or to say stupid things. Or to behave in a way that's just foolish. And yet how many of us know it's really easy to do that? There's several different kinds of anger. One, there's what we call the rage. That's the lid blown off the pot. Those are those of you, and I'm not one of them. It's those of you that just, I'm not going to show it because they convinced me not to. But my boys showed me this afternoon on YouTube. If you search for World of Warcraft, freak out. There is this like 13-year-old boy who gets told by his mom that he can't play Warcraft this week. And it is the most hysterical thing in the world. I say that because he's not my kid. But this kid goes into his room because his brother knows he's going to flip out. His brother sets up the laptop on the dresser and is like, watch this. My brother just got told he can't play Warcraft. And then his brother runs out of the room. And this boy comes, he's like 13, he's fully clothed, and he just flips out. He starts shaking and slamming on the bed and slamming doors and yelling and doing like the Tarzan thing. There's no one even in the room but him. Just going crazy. Pretty soon he's like ripping off his clothes and thrashing on the bed. All because he was angry. He's one of those rage type. Kind of cute to watch some little 13-year-old kid that. It's really not cute when we've seen it on the news because someone went into a post office and blew people away or to a school. That kind of rage is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Some of us are a little different than that. We're not the rage type. We're the resentment type. We don't explode, but we seed. We simmer. We just let it stew. We're really good at it. You, those of us that are that way, you may never even know we're upset at you at first. Because we will smile, but ooh, beware, because the next time you scratch us, comes out. You know what I mean? The church, we don't point people out. She's like, that's them right there. It's so easy to do that in relationships. We do it all the time. Something, our boyfriend, girlfriend, partner does something, it ticks us off, and we do get angry, but we're passive aggressive, and we're the resentment time. They're like, are you upset? No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. I'm fine. You sure you're not upset that I didn't call you? No, I'm cool. Until an hour later. All right, well, let's go home, and I'll call you tomorrow. You'll call me tomorrow? You didn't call me today. Oh, it's back. You know what I mean? And unexpected, there it is again. And we will use that. We never explode, but if you don't deal with that, you'll be hearing about that for the next 15 years. We'll be pulling that puppy out. And just, I have a couple of them. I do. Friends of mine, I just like to pull them out once in a while. And I'm kind of kidding. I don't know if I'm kind of kidding or not. They're like, you said you forgave me. I did, but it feels good to pull it out once in a while. And you'll pop upside your head with it. You know what I mean? That's a different kind of anger. It's not the rage, but it's still an anger that got seeded down inside of there. The third type of anger is not a bad anger. It's what we call an indignation. It's that sense, especially towards injustice, like something you saw is wrong. We saw that when people, whether it was the civil rights movement or women's suffrage, when people said, this is wrong, I'll march, I'm going to boycott, I'm going to say no, I'm going to stand up. It's an anger, literally, that becomes a part of you that says, I can't just stand by and let this happen, as long as it doesn't lead to wrong behavior. Ephesians 4, let's look at it real quick. Verse 26, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, be angry. Go ahead, I love that commandment. I have it circled in my Bible. Be angry. But do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. There are three little admonitions there, and I'm not really teaching on them tonight, but don't miss them. He says the first one is, be angry, but sin not. So go ahead and feel that anger, but be careful lest it lead to wrong behavior. Two, you need to know that there needs to be some time limit you set to dealing with your anger. You can be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. Meaning, it's all right you put that. God gave you that ability to feel uncomfortable with certain things. God gave you that ability to say, oh, this is wrong. This ticks me off. Because it can lead to very good things. However, you're not to live there. You're not to set up camp and live in that anger in your house for a week at a time. You're not to come back tomorrow still angry at your coworker for what he said about you. You can't live there. You've got to. And I love really the principle it says. Don't let the sun go down. I tried throughout life to say that's kind of the principle. That we can get mad, we can let that go, we can get some time out. But before the sun goes down and this day ends, we need to talk about this. Sometimes it hasn't happened if the sun had already gone down. Sometimes if you have one of those arguments and it's like 9 o'clock at night, we're going to have to let this roll till tomorrow. You know what I mean? But the point is, really, don't let it go. Because tomorrow morning you might think it's gone, but it's not. It's just gone below the surface and it will get out again. So learn to deal with it that day. You may need to take some time to cool down, but deal with it. I got it quick. This is not even a sermon tonight. Three, do not give the devil an opportunity. What is he saying about anger? One, be angry, but don't be foolish about it. Two, set a time on that. Three, be careful. Because if you don't set a time, if you don't learn to not be foolishly, you're going to give place for junk and evil and bad stuff to happen in your life. You think they ticked you off, and so you're going to get mad? Watch out, because your anger is probably going to cause stuff way worse than they caused in the first place by your wrong behavior. So beware of anger. I'm going to have to jump through a lot of material because I don't have the time to cover it. I want to talk, as we end tonight, how do we handle it then? We have it. God gave you that ability to feel it. But how do you handle it when it gets out of control? Because for many of us, the anger is not good. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to confess it. Last week we looked at what are the traits of an angry person. There may not be anyone tonight that you're ready to cuss out, but some of us live angry. Meaning right below the surface, there's just this tension there. And you know it because if someone cuts you off on the freeway, it just erupts. You don't even know. That's no big deal that they cut you off. If you're that kind of person, you're living with anger underneath. If someone can just kind of jostle you in a crowd, pass by, and what? You're living with anger issues. I see it at school all the time, and I tell these kids, why does that bother you? Well, he bumped me. I always say, does he sign your paycheck? Does he put? I don't care if he bumped me. If it was on purpose. But most of it, just people live with this stuff ready to go. It's just this anger seething in them. If you have an anger issue, Christian, confess it. James said this to the church he wrote to. He said, believers, confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. I never finished that when we did our Forgotten Virtue series. That was going to be the last one, the virtue of confession, because we don't talk a lot about that outside of the Catholic Church. It's a Christian teaching that if you've got stuff that's kind of going awry in your life, the place of healing usually begins finding a safe brother or sister in Christ to confess it to and be honest about it. To say, you know what, can I pray with you? I've got to be honest. I feel like I got anger in life. I'm just angry. Good. Confess that. Admit that. Because that's when God can begin then to bring the wisdom and the help and the people alongside of you to help you get through that. But you can't get healed of something that you don't admit you have. So confess it. Two, identify the nature and the source. You know what I mean? This is where you got to kind of get smart. We looked at it last week. When someone cuts you off on the freeway and you're ready to like go behind them and say, I wish I was in my junker car so I could just ram them. You know what? That's not the issue of where that's coming from right now. That person who didn't even do anything on the large scope of your life, that's not the issue. Where is that coming from? You've got to look, and frankly, you might not be able to do that by yourself. You might need to get with someone who can get professional help. I found sometimes it's really good to find just good friends who know you and have known you for a while. And ask them to be real candid and say, I think I'm struggling with anger. Where do you think it's coming from? And I'll bet you they'll give you a couple good ideas. I told you last week very candidly when I took my psych eval 3 years ago and they said I was wrestling with repressed hostility. I was like, repressed hostility? I am not, you know. And so I met with some people for a little while talking about that, and I finally did realize, wow, where that's coming from was not anything overtly. It frankly had come through, you know, when I went through my divorce and life change, and I lost my business, and I lost my family, and I had always been self-employed. I had been the head of my home, or so I thought. It wasn't a very good one. But, you know, I thought it was empowered, and then over the next couple of years, I felt totally, totally powerless. I had the court telling me what I had to do, and I had my ex-wife now. I seemed to have all the power to tell me what I had to do and where I had to do it. And I have jobs now where supervisors for the first time, and I'd always been self-employed, tell me. And I realized a lot of my aggression came from several years of just feeling powerless. It wasn't a single instant. It was something in me saying, I don't like this. I don't like feeling powerless. And it just created this kind of underlying tension in my life. You can confess it, but people, that's not meaning you're ready to get past it. You first have to say, God, where's this coming from? Is this coming from a past relationship that ended 10 years ago, but I've never forgiven that person, and I'm still angry, and it's affecting all my other relationships? Is this from that failure I had in that business endeavor I tried? And I'm so angry at myself, and I won't forgive myself? Where is it coming from? Because when you identify that, you can then begin to try to forgive and move past that thing in your life. 3, handling anger, you have the purpose to deal with it quickly. This is what we talked about. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. If you're angry, don't let it go. Don't let it dwell. And for all of us passive-aggressive people, this is hard for us. Because we don't want to deal with it, especially not at the moment. We just want peace. Can't always have peace. Sometimes you've got to have a little turmoil to get past this stuff. I have learned this little thing that sometimes I have to do is, it's not always the time right now to deal with your anger, because you just might be not in a good place. So whether it's with your husband or your wife or the people you work with in your nonprofit or church or your friends, you might need to get a little notebook or a little place in your Palm Pilot or your phone or something where you just jot a note. Talk about this. Not now. It's not a good time. I'll be angry and da 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 da. But talk about it. And I know that in past relationships I've had, we had a date night, and we also had what we called therapy night. And that was the night we whipped out our little notebooks. We're like, okay, well. And I look at it, I'm like, well, I'm not really angry about it anymore, but I guess we should talk about it. Because when it happened last Thursday night, I was ticked. And I feel like it's gone now, but we should talk about it, because I have a feeling if it happens again, I'm going to be double ticked. You've got to be purposeful about, I'm not going to let this go on forever. I have a plan. Whether that's you and your good friend want to get together once a month, and maybe after you order food, the first 15 minutes, you say, how's it going? Got any problems relationally with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, with your employer? Are there times you're dealing with those things in a constructive way? 4, we already looked at this too. But people, this is about making a decision. Whether you're the seethers, or whether you're the explosive, I told you. You got to make a decision somewhere. Okay, I know I have a propensity to get that way, but I'm not going to do wrong. I'm not. I'm not going to cuss them out anymore. I'm not going to get sarcastic and try to level them at the knees anymore. I'm not going to throw things. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to accuse them. I'm not going to bring up stuff. Make up your mind ahead of time, because when it happens, it's too late. If you haven't already made a plan that you're not going to, when it happens, it's just going to happen. Chances, even if you've made a plan not to do foolish, you might slip up. But at least you have a plan that you are aiming towards. Jesus Christ said that thing we all remember. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. And we're like, pick up a cross? And get splinters in my back. We don't pick up a physical one. But you know what? It's hard to be a Christian. Because it's hard to be angry and not to sin. It's hard for someone to tick you off to the point that you think this is so unjust and you just want to go off. And the Holy Spirit inside of you is saying, don't sin. You can deal with it, but you've got to be nice. You've got to be kind. You have to be gentle. You have to be forbearing of them. That's just hard for a minute. Can I just be an atheist for like 5 minutes? And then I will go to church and repent on Sunday night and get it all back right again. Yeah, you can. But it won't do good for you. It'll cause mess. Make a point. I'm not going to. Five, take a time out. You just need to take time out. Truce. This is where I say, for those of you in relationships, you guys need to have some rules about how you deal with anger before you get there. Read a good book on it. Watch some Oprah. Do whatever you need to do. Dr. Phil, I don't know. Get some rules. Without ground rules, relationships go awry really quickly. And one of them is with anger. What happens in this relationship when one of us gets angry? I propose that both of you agree that the other person can call a time out at any time and you will honor it. You may agree that'll be a 10-minute time out, that'll be a 30-minute time out, that will be a day, I don't know what you do. But you really do need to have a time, because when anger gets going, especially, remember, the people you love the most are the people that will get you the angriest in life. Police will tell you, the worst calls they get, the time they are most fearful, is going to domestic disputes because they are so volatile. You need a time that says, hey, if I sense you are starting to get angry, time out. We will talk about this in 10 minutes. Because the voices are starting to go up, the arms are starting to flail, the head's starting to cock. What up with it? No, time out. Time. Let's talk about this in 10 minutes. You need to physically go cool down for a minute. 30 minutes, whatever. Have an agreed plan. Because once you get to that point, productive things are not going to happen. Cool down. I was swimming, I think, yesterday. And my boys wanted to do a race in the pool. And that pool's about this long to the door. And my oldest son now is even taller than me. It's probably because he has high heel shoes on or something. I don't know. But he's taller than me. And so the last couple races, I lost. That's all right. But I didn't want to lose this race because they were like, come on, let me beat you again. I'm like, you think you can beat me? Okay. So I told them, I didn't want to do it. I said, you guys, the reason I lose is because I don't open my eyes in water. And when I get down near the end, I don't want to hit my head. So I said, don't. So I said, Malachi, you're stationed like 10 feet before the wall. I said, and just slap me when I'm passing you so that I know I'm getting there. He's like, okay. He's like, well, I'll just say, hey. I think, Malachi, no, I'm not going to hear you. You're going to have to slap me. So we go in the water, and I am going to whip him this time. I'm going to beat him. I know I can. So I said, go. We're going, and I was flying. I knew I was flying. Did Malachi hit me? No. Did he say, hey, I don't know, I was underwater. All I knew is also, bam. Yeah, it was bad, too. And I have two things that make me, if I ever get close to being explosive, there are two things. I'm not going to tell you what the other one is. But the one is physical pain. I don't like pain. And I hit my head on that wall, and I came up out of that water, and it was about to be the Hulk. And my kids even knew, even coming up, because they heard the thud. As I come out of the water, my boys are already backing up in the water, you know? And the first thing I thought, because I had prepared the message, was time. And I just dove back in the water and I started doing a lap across the other end of the pool. Literally thinking, I just need to cool down. They didn't do it on purpose. I came up to this side of the water. I didn't want to look at him yet because I was still ticked. And Malachi, I heard him say, Dad, I tried to stop you, but you were just going so fast. Back under the water. Because I thought of something to say back at that point. And I did. I just literally did a couple laps until I was fine. And then we played and we had another round. And I did beat him, by the way. But you know what? Seriously, sometimes the timeout is what you need to do. Don't be scared that the person slams the door and leaves. They may need to go do that. Now, timeout need to be reasonably. Don't be saying, no, week, come back after some week. Okay, I cool down. But you do need to sometimes remove from that situation. Quickly going, vent non-destructively. You need to find a way to channel that. I don't know what it is for you. I found out 2 years ago what it was for me. When I start getting that way, I got to get to the gym. I don't know what it is. I really have found it. It's just a physical thing. If I get to the gym, and I pull some air. I do. I just do as many reps as I can. Or run afterwards. I really physically just feel like, okay, it's unwound, whatever that was. Not that I'm happy yet, but I don't feel that real tension. It might be taking a walk for you. It might be going on a run. It may be getting out to the beach and sitting there and watching the waves, getting on your bicycle. Usually it does involve something physical. When you get there, take time and do something to vent that frustration. Nothing destructive. Don't take a bat to the car. Don't take your fist to the wall. I've seen all those things. That's not constructive. Do something that you can vent the physical aggression you feel without doing wrong. 7, we're almost done. Replace it. This is where it comes into the be angry and do not sin. Anger is a great thing if you can replace it, meaning if you can find how to channel this thing into the right way. You saw something at work that ticked you off, cool down, and then use that anger to maybe solve that unjust pattern at work in a right manner. Something your partner did that caused you to be angry, use that to solve that issue in your relationship so you can even be stronger. Many, many, even great nonprofits have been started initially by a root of anger. Someone saw something and they were ticked. And eventually said, we're going to do something about this. And they got together a group and now there's change happening in their community because of that. Direct it towards a good end. And lastly, the Bible tells you this, and I don't know why we don't always do this. Proverbs tells us literally to avoid the angry man or woman. I want you to think of something. It doesn't mean they can't be your friend. But there really is a warning. If you know people in your life that are angry people, you can continue to be a friend, but you might want to watch how intimate you allow yourself. If you're dating someone and you see an anger problem, hey, I'm going to be real honest. Most of the time, cut your losses now. It's only going to get worse through life generally. You're dating someone, well, we make excuses for, well, they're Italians. What does that mean? I hear everyone, well, we're Germans. Oh, you too. We're Polish. Oh, yeah, so everyone, whatever you are, that's why you can have a bad temper. Oh, it's just the way we communicate in my family. We don't mean it. You may not mean it, but it hurts and it's not a good thing. If there are angry people, you don't need that in your life. It's going to cause pain. It's not going to cause good things in your relationships. Be wary of that and stay away from that. In closing, the Holy Spirit, God crafted us with this wonderful gamut of emotions. You can laugh, you can cry. You can be ecstatic and you can be very sad. God made your ability to be angry, and there are things you should be angry at. But the Holy Spirit is always there whispering to you, but hold on, don't do foolish things because of it. Let me direct that, and I'll do a great thing in your life through that. But be careful. Because anger can hurt. Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight that all through your word we see anger. We see it in constructive ways. We see it in destructive manners. Holy Spirit, tonight we're asking that this week you would remind us the scripture, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath. Don't give the devil any opportunity. May we remember one or two or some of these points this week to deal with the times that we do get angry at the people we love, at sometimes even the people we don't know. And may we be disciples of Christ on this journey to say we want to be like Jesus. Angry in the right way at the right time, but never acting unlike Christ. Help us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.